Well, we can't continue over in Romans chapter 13. And prayer is really calling upon us here, as he does many places, not only in Romans, but you know, his other epistles, to maintain, to embrace, you know, that heavenly and that eternal perspective. You know, that we live in the light of God's sovereign grace. That we live in the light of, you know, who we were and what we were and what God has done. You know, as Paul began this book with setting forth the total hereditary depravity of mankind. I mean, you know, if we understand that, we can't think that somehow, you know, we managed to get up enough faith so that God could do what he's been wanting to do. Man's done. He's finished. He's undone. But in the light of what God has done and accomplished in us and sending forth Christ to redeem his people, you know, how then ought we to live? And as Paul had said back in chapter 12, that, you know, to give our bodies, present our bodies a living sacrifice. You know, how ought we relate to one another? How ought we relate to human institutions? How we ought to relate to all these various things that Paul has set forth, and our dealings with one another, our dealings with even the lost world. So Paul's continued, and we let's just pick up there maybe with verse 11, where Paul says that knowing the time, it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And we spoke there again of the various aspects of our salvation. It's not completed yet, but that it began in eternity past. But brethren, this you can know, it's assured. You know, it is assured. And someplace here further on in my notes, I don't know if when I'll get to it today. But here's the thing. Our destination is sure. No doubt about it. Our destination is sure. Now what Paul's point is here, and to set it in the context not only of the eternal, but of human responsibility and where we find ourselves today, though it's sure, it will not be reached without much effort and opposition. I mean, it's sure. But from the human perspective, it's not going to be easy getting there in that sense. And so Paul calls us to be diligent, to be vigilant, to be awake. And that knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He continues on, and we left off, I think, here at verse 12 last time. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And specifically to cast off all those things that hinder us in the coming fight, to hinder us in the duty that lies before us. Cast off, because the night is far spent. The day is at hand. And even though we know where we're going, and even though we know we're going to get there, there's still some ground to travel in between. The night is far spent. You know, our time on earth, the time of the Lord's return, you know, approaches. That night is far spent. Even the old Jewish commentators, a Rabbi Hamor wrote, "This world is like to the night." If you ever stood a night watch or, you know, sat in a fighting hole overnight, you know, it's dark and your eyes begin to cross and it's cold and you just can't wait for that sun to come up in the morning. Well, the night's far spent and we know the sun's going to come up. And so we need to be awake. We need to be busy. The little while we have. we need to be doing what we ought. And again, when Paul here refers to the night as far spent, whether it be in terms of the Lord's return, which we know is a surety, or whether it be in the terms of the Lord calling us home. Brethren, this world is going to come to an end very soon for all of us in one way or the other. At least our trek in this world is going to come to an end. The Scriptures again reemphasize this time and time again. May not be the most pleasant of thoughts, but it can, if it's properly understood, it becomes a motivating thought. The Apostle James writes this, in our life's just like a vapor. You see the steam coming off a pot, or the vapor that rises in the morning from the ground. James 4 and verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Well, you just open the newspaper every day, and you know you're made aware of those things. I mean, the first thing just happens to come to my mind. You know, you go out and watch an air show, and boom, you're gone. Folks were gone. We read in Job 9 and verse 25. An interesting passage. I thought of some of you when I read this passage. Job 9, verse 25 says, My days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to his prey. Job said, you know, our days pass away, you know, like a swift ship. Those old swift sailing ships. It's just, you see them on the horizon, it's not very long, they're gone. You don't see him anymore. He says, like the eagle that hasteth to his prey. I mean, you see that eagle die. How long does that take? And then he uses the thing of the post, the postman. He says, as swift as the post. I don't know, you know, would he still use that same terminology today? I don't know. And of course, what we call a postman develops from that word post there, spoke of the messenger or the courier, you know, the runner. That would be sent with a message. He says, my days are swifter than, and really I shouldn't pick on you all that bad. I usually get my letters where they're supposed to be and when they're supposed to be, and they go relatively quick. But Job brings out these points. You know, it's just like that. Just like that. Time and time again, the Bible sets forth these things that ought to be obvious, but time and time again, we're apt to ignore them or apt to deny them. But this world's coming to an end for us. I mean, how come in the back of our minds how many funerals we go to and we never think about so much, yes, that's going to be ours someday. Diane's dad used to always talk about you keep moving up one car. You know, you're in the more distant family, you know, then the immediate family, the sons and daughters are in the car right behind the hearse, and pretty soon, you know, the sons and daughters, you're not the sons and daughters anymore. You know, you're the grandpas and the great grandpas, and you keep moving up one car till you get the one in the front, you know, that's carrying the hearse. You know, but we have this perspective of the night and the day and what's coming. And that's the way it is with all flesh. You know, but the wicked, as dark as this world is, that's all the light they're ever going to experience. That's all the light they're ever going to know. James writes, but the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he passes away. Hey, look at all the rich folks. Did that save them from passing away? I often look at, I don't know why it crosses my mind. I open the paper and I see these folks, you know, known to be, you know, to have gobs of money. You know, but they're dying. They're dying. They don't seem to be able to extend their life. You know, they say this fellow struggled with cancer for a year or two and he's gone. Boy, he had all the money in the world. Doesn't matter. Didn't matter. Their life's like the flower of grass. It passes away. And when we think about again, the perspective of the lives of the wicked. You know, a couple of verses that just came to mind this morning that I wanted to share that weren't even originally my notes. And Psalm 37, you know, where David talks, he says, "Fret not thyself because of the evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." You know, we look at all these folks and we think, well, how come we don't have it? Well, you probably don't want that if you think about it long enough. "Fret not thyself because of the evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass." What good is it going to do them? "And wither as the green herb." Later on in the same chapter, Paul says down in verse 35 and 36, "For I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a great bay tree, and he passed away. And lo, he was not. Yea, I saw him, but he could not be found." You know, all these great tyrants that have raised up over the years, where are they? They're gone. You look for them, they're gone. Even more, perhaps, to the point, over in Psalm 73, Paul sets forth, beginning in verse 12. He said, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." What good's it done me? See, the wicked seem to be prospering. "For I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend. For if I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." Couldn't even think about it. Prosperity of the wicked. And he says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God. And then I understood. And then understood I their end." Brethren, whatever you garner in this life and the places of darkness, they're not going to do you any good. Also, you know, I looked at what they had, but then I understood their end. You know, the night is far spent. These children of darkness may seem to prosper in this wicked world, but it's coming to an end. Surely, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? In a moment. As in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. Are the nights far spent? You know, you say, "Well, I'm tired being on watch. You know, I'd rather be doing something. I'm just tired. I want to quit. The night's far spent. The morning's coming. The day is at hand." And thus it is with all flesh. Whether it be the children of darkness or the children of light, as far as in the physical realm, all flesh is coming to an end. It's passing. Job says, again, Job 14 and verse 1, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away." One more, the psalmist says in Psalm 90, verse 5, "Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep, In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withereth. And so, we're in this old world. We're journeying through the old world. And the days, the nights coming to an end. And though we journey through this old world, we're not to join ourselves with it. We're not to pick up the same perspective as the world. The same priorities of the world. And we're to understand, you know, we're watchmen. We're not the children of darkness. The world is darkness. We're the children of light. The Lord said, in speaking of His disciples, of His children, of us, in John 17, verse 16, He said, they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. When Paul writes to the saints in Ephesus, he says this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. This concept that Paul often returns, the dark and the light, the night and the day. Don't have fellowship with the unfruitful workness of darkness. Well, we have to journey through this darkness. We're journeying, but we're not to make ourselves a part of it. Rather, reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. See, light manifests things. It shows them for what they truly are. You know, you hear a bump in the night and you don't know what it is. When you turn on the light, you see what it is. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk. Again, Paul's going to pick up the same theme here in Romans. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We're to make best use of the time that the Lord gives us in this old world. I appreciate Brother Singh always seems to incorporate that in his prayers. And, you know, what of us don't often think, man, what do I do with the time? Where does it go? You know, how do I accomplish what He needs it to? Redeeming the time! Because the days are evil. I mean, redeeming, to buy it back, to rescue it from loss. And so Paul's point here, as we get our thoughts back to Romans again, is that the time's short. We ought to make the best of it. The night is dark, but it ought not to lull us to sleep. You know that old saying, one life and soon 'tis past, only what's done for Christ will last. You think about those things you pass on. I think about those that went before us, and you know those that will come after us, and what influence we might have upon them by the grace of God. The night is far spent, and so we ought to be diligent. We ought to be, why? Because the day is at hand. the sun's about to come up. Our deliverance from this old world, from its sin, from its woe, from its anguish, from its sorrow. You've all heard the old Irish saying, it's always darkest before the dawn. And though that's not specifically set forth anywhere in Scripture, I think, you know, it does reflect, you know, biblical truth. When we think, relate it to this old world, in fact, Peter says in 1 Peter 4, 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, you know, give up in despair. That's not what he says. That's not what Paul says. That's not what God tells us. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Be awake. Be diligent. Man, this generation, the world we live in today, you know what? People need to be sober. They need to know what's going on. Most folks don't have a clue, do they? And they don't want to have a clue, by and large. That's the sad thing, but again, that's the depravity of mankind. You know, you try to communicate the truth, and it's, la, 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 I'm not listening. The day's at hand. The end of all things is at hand, Peter says. The nearness of the end, then, should encourage us to vigilance and should encourage us to diligence. Apostle John writes in 1 John 2 and verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. It's not that much longer. You know, I think part of the point is, not hold on, it's not that much longer. You know, you get to the end of the rope, then you end of your rope, well, you tie a knot and hang on. We used to say in the Marine Corps, and I say in other circumstances as well, you know, when it's getting near and you become a short-timer or whatever, you know, to this old world, we're short-timers. You all use that same terminology, didn't you? You're a short-timer. I used to say, you know, well, you know, I can do the rest of my time standing on my head, you know, as the time approached. You know, to keep that heavenly perspective, you know, what time we've got left here in eternity. The night's far spent, the day is at hand. And so Paul continues on, and he'll follow on this theme for a while here. He says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. The night's far spent, the day's out of hand. Listen, get out of your pajamas and put on your battle gear. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. You know, it's, you know, those of us that have some interest in those things, it's like, hey, it's game day, you know. You need to dress out. The dawn's approaching. Cast off the works of darkness. Get rid of those things that hinder. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 30, verse 22, ye also ye shall defile also the covering of the graven of any graven image of silver, and the ornaments of any molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Get rid of the junk. It's easy for me to say, but you can go look in my garage. I understand that, you know. But, and there's more truth to that than there is not, I'm sure. Cast off the works of darkness. Get rid of the junk. In Ephesians, Paul writes the same sort of thing to the saints in Ephesus. He says, and you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Get rid of the old junk and put on the good stuff. To the Colossians, Paul wrote, but now ye also put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The world's encompassed with darkness, but the night is far spent. The day is at hand. The children of darkness embrace the darkness, but we ought not. Again, Job says in Job 24, verse 14, the murderer riseth with the light, killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. And the eye of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. You know, the darkness of the world seems to cover a lot, but folks, the morning's coming. In the dark they dig through houses, which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light, for the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. As Paul talks about the gospel, you know, the sun is the savor of light, life unto life, and the sun is the savor of death unto death. The world's coming to an end. The night is for a spit. The day approaches. You know, but to some, the morning is to them, as Job says, even as the shadow of death. For if one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. The Apostle John writes in John 3 verse 19, in the testimony of the Lord, and this is the condemnation that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that loveth evil hateth the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So we travel through this world of darkness, but we understand that the night's far spent, the day's at hand. And so again, Paul admonishes in Ephesians 5, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. As he writes to the Thessalonians in Thessalonians 5 and verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober. And Paul's going to pick up this theme here in Romans. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And the Apostle John writes in his epistle, 1st Epistle, chapter 1, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. And so Paul says, brother, the night's far spent, the day's at hand. You know, get out of your pajamas and get in the uniform of the day. And the uniform, he talks about an armor. And we'll pick up here and look at it in a little bit more detail. But, you know, what does that uniform do? You know, what does that armor do? Well, and particularly in that day, you know, the uniform consisted at least in part in armor, at least the battle uniform. Well, it protects, but it does much more than that. You know, we put on the uniform of the day, it identifies us and it separates us. You know, I mean, it marks us. They're not the same. They wear a different uniform, you know. As the world says, they march to the beat of a different drum. Is that what they say? Something along those lines. You know, they're in a different uniform. They're in a different outfit than we're in. They're in a different army. And so Paul continues here in Romans, and he gets into some details, what's involved in this of putting off the works of darkness, and of putting on the armor of light. And, you know, by the grace of God, may we seek to daily, you know, put on that armor of light. The night's far spent, brethren. The day's at hand. And I pray the Lord be pleased to help us maintain that perspective. And I know it's not always the easy thing. It's not always the thing we're perhaps inclined to do, but it's God's truth. It sure is. Let's take our hymnals today, and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Now, I was going to do number 9. We can see if we can do that. Yeah, I think I can do this. Okay. Oh, sometimes the shadows are deep, and rough seems the path to the goal, and sorrow sometimes how they sweep, like tempest down over the soul. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Let's go to the third verse. Oh, near to the rock let me keep, if blessings or sorrows prevail, or climbing the mountain way steep, or walking the shadowy trail, oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the opportunity to gather as Your people, Lord. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that You bestowed upon us. Lord, for Your love that spanned in eternity, the love that was from eternity that You allowed us to know and experience in time as Your Spirit gave us life and brought us to embrace our Savior. Father, I thank Thee that we know that You're a sovereign God, that You're going to accomplish Your will, that the end is certain. Lord, I pray You help us to be faithful along the way. Help us to be awake. Help us to realize that the night is indeed far spent and the day is at hand. Lord, help us to be faithful. Father, I thank You again for each one that's here, and what we mean to each other, Lord, and what they individually mean to me. Lord, I thank You for the strength that we draw from one another. Lord, I thank You for the faithfulness of the sheep of Your flock. I just pray, Lord, that You help us each to be more conformed to the image of Your Son. Father, we pray again for our brothers in the ministry, those that need Your healing hand. Lord, we pray You continue to strengthen those that suffer through continuing ailments and yet so faithfully serve Thee. Lord, I thank of Brother Ellis and Brother Gardner, Brother Pugh, Brother Hansard. Father, I pray that You just be with each of us in this coming week, that You use us to Your glory, that we might be manifest as Your children. We might be manifested as the children of light, that our walks might be that which distinguishes, and that, Lord, which might You might be pleased to use to draw others unto Yourself. Well, thank You for Your love. Thank You again for our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for his atoning death. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.